Hey guys, how you doing today? Can I get you started with something to drink?
Is your aging loved one home alone, forgetting to take medicine or pay bills? The Caregiver Cafe with Roz Jones has a menu of resources to serve your caregiver needs. As a caregiver, Roz understands your daily challenges. This podcast focuses on the unique and dynamic issues of caregiving.
Welcome back to the Caregiver Cafe. We have been having a great conversation with Dr. Jacob Kendall, and we're talking about changing patterns in population as it impacts caregiving. And in part one, he gives so much information. I might need to write a book myself, because just on the information he gave and how, not only how this population is impacting the family caregiver, but then this also impacts companies, you know, who are providing care. And I didn't realize that until I was listening to you in part one, as you were talking about the internal and external migration of family caregivers, those who are long distance and even live out of the country. And then, we talked about how the family household, how it has changed. So we have baby boomers sometimes taking care of grandchildren and parents, kind of that sandwich generation going on. And so now we're going to switch a little bit, and we're going to talk about how a lot of times when caregiving happens, there's that one person it kind of falls on. And then we're going to also talk about the migrants part of caregiving. So let's talk about how sometimes when things happen, it's planned or it's unplanned. However, the parents usually know who they want to take care of them, and it falls on that one person. How does the change in patterns in population tell us how, you know, what are going to be the residual effects of that?
Yeah, this is a huge set of questions. First of all, probably unsurprisingly, the burden of care usually falls on one sibling. If it's multiple siblings in a family, it's not always, but let's just imagine that kind of situation. And it unduly falls on a female siblings more often than not. Mm. And that's probably not surprising to many
it's
people.
Not.
And there are, in terms of the age of the siblings, it often falls on older siblings. And so when you add in these other population level trends, like migration, for example, you get situations because migrants are more likely to be healthier and wealthier than non-migrants because they're healthy enough to make the move and they're wealthy enough to afford it. And I've seen many situations. Now, again, none of this is universal. I'm just mm-hmm. pointing out some factors. At the end of the day, it's many, many, many factors affecting this. I'm just kind of, you know, talking about general trends, but I've seen many situations in which the main person responsible financially may be the wealthier sibling who moved away, you know, but the other sibling may still be living in the town with the older adults. And so there are often not agreements among siblings on how to best care for their older parents. And unfortunately, there are a lot of situations in which, one person may be making financial decisions. The siblings may not agree, but the other siblings living with the parents and they see it day to day. I don't want to get into talking about chicken or egg here, you know,
right.
What set it all off. All these factors interact with one another. And when you add migration into the mix, it can be difficult to make adequate decisions if you have, power of attorney mm-hmm. or you're the one making the financial decisions, but you're not actually living there. And so really I say all this just to point out these different variables that are relevant with this and how these other population level trends such as migration and urbanization are also relevant here. Does that make sense? I'm just kind of pointing out general.
Yeah. Oh no. It makes plenty sense. The thing that intrigues me is that I never thought about caregiving in this way. That's why I'm just sitting here in awe, because I feel like I try to educate myself well, but today I feel vulnerable. I feel like I haven't done my best. You understand what I'm saying? Because these are things that could help me improve in giving care. Understanding these patterns, understanding these trends, preparing the family to say, hey, this may not last a few years. It may last a decade or two. You understand? Yeah. And so we have not been, as we get our training every year, we go through our training, we are not taught this.
And yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And everyone, especially if you're working on the ground level of, you know, with individuals and families, there's a lot there. And I'm not as knowledgeable at that, on that side of things. Mm-hmm. I think that these kind of population, these more macro trends are helpful to shed light on what's going on the ground level. It's one of the things that I want to do and speak on more, is let's zoom out and see what's going on and see how that informs what's going on after we zoom back in, if that makes sense. So I appreciate you saying that. It's affirmational to me to know that, okay, I do want to speak more on these topics. I think this could be helpful I think we can be informing one another, basically.
I think what you have is a game changer, because I'm serious, because we are taught, you know, we're taught book. We're not taught life. This is telling us about life. And if we don't pay attention to these patterns, taking better care of our own personal health, number one, then preparing for, you know, people don't die at 60 and 70 anymore. They're, you know, I'm seeing more people now, birthdays on Facebook and social media, 105, 110, 107, you know. So these are the things that I'm thinking about that's going to impact what I do in the future. So that means that I have to adjust how I work with these families, because now it's not going to be 5 years or 10 years. Just like I told you, one is 13, going into 13 years. But if I had this information, I think mentally and physically, I would have put employees in there different, knowing the information that you have just given me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, as a gerontologist, one of the most common responses I get when I meet someone and, you know, we tell one another what we do and they hear that I'm a gerontologist, and probably the most common response I get is, oh, so you try to figure out how to get people to live longer. And there's this focus on living longer. And that's great. I definitely, I want to advocate for people living long lives, but that's not sufficient. We want to live long, healthy lives. Mm-hmm. And right now, the trend is in the most industrialized, in the wealthiest countries that are the farthest along the epidemiological transition, the rates of dementia are increasing rapidly because we're figuring out heart disease. We're figuring out cancer, right? And you can already see the trends happening, heart disease and cancer. Heart disease is the number one cause of death in the world. But in the wealthiest countries, that's starting to decline and dementia is increasing. We all have to die from something, right? And if we're not dying from heart disease and cancer, we're living long enough to die from dementia. And basically, I mean, I hate to sound so morbid when I say this, but dementia is a really, really hard price to pay for our life expectancy increasing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't advocate for living longer lives, but if we don't advocate for also living high quality lives, it does come with an enormous, enormous burden. And, you know, when we talk about the burden that it plays at the individual level on caregivers, it's not just their health. It saps their finances. It impacts their social relationships because they have less time to spend with friends. And in so many different ways, it affects every aspect of your health. And so I think that we need to be understanding these trends. And in the 80s, 90s, and 100s, those are the fastest growing age groups in the world right now. They're growing very rapidly.
And baby boomers, there's 10,000 baby boomers hitting the Medicare and Social Security rolls every day.
Yep.
Every day. Every day. And so, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say all these different issues interact with one another. It's easy enough to think about the debate on healthcare interacts with these issues, and that's a conversation unto itself, but the debates on immigration do as well, because overwhelmingly Americans want to die in their own homes, right? And that's totally understandable. They don't want to die in a hospital or nursing home, and nursing homes are the last place that people want to go. So if you look at where in the country the highest percentage of older adults live in nursing homes, it's in the Midwest. How is that tied to migration? Well, a few decades ago, we started experiencing the oh my gosh, there's a name for it. I'm drawing a blank on it. But basically, a lot of people, a lot of working age adults moved out of the Midwest. Whom did they leave behind? Older adults who are now living in nursing homes because they don't have anywhere else to go. And the wealthiest older adults can afford someone to come care for them in their own home. And that's a very, very expensive option. And what is the demographic? What's a segment of the population that they're asking that who are increasingly coming to care for them in their own home, if it's not their loved ones? Latina immigrants, right? And this is in Texas, California, Arizona, and Florida, where a smaller percentage of older adults are living in nursing homes because they can afford not to. And so I'm just, what I'm advocating for is, as we consider the national and political debates on these hot button topics, healthcare, immigration, we need to make informed decisions and realize how all of these things, all these factors are wrapped up with one another, right? Because the number one and two, I think, industries for Hispanic and Latinx immigrants to work in are construction and agriculture. But number three, the last time I looked, was home health care. They're caring for your older relatives, right? For our older relatives. So I'm just pointing out that I'm trying not to get too much on the soapbox, but we need to realize that all these different trends and factors intersect with one another.
We're going to take a pause for the cause, and we're going to come back with a part three, because we're not, I need a part three on this, Doc, if you don't mind. Can you stay a few more minutes?
Yeah, sorry, I got on the soapbox.
No, this is great. Please don't ever apologize for what you're passionate about. And you're good, and this is, you're passionate, and we need this information. I can't be a better caregiver. Yes, sir. So we'll be right back in just a minute. We're going to take a pause for a cause, and we'll be back with part three.
Until your next visit to the Caregiver Cafe, connect with Roz on YouTube, LinkedIn, and her blog at thecaregivercafe.net. Caregiver Cafe podcast specializes in serving those who provide care and support to a sick or aging loved one. I'm the voice guy, but I'm one of you. So when Roz has on experts or frontline workers, I'm listening. We hope you've enjoyed the show. In the meantime, don't forget to connect with Roz on YouTube, LinkedIn, or at the blog at thecaregivercafe.net.